Anyway, let's think now about your cell phone. What if it rang and this was the answer?
Baby, guess what? I'm pregnant. What do you mean? You're the only one I've been with for mad long.
That is actually a cell phone message that comes from a set of soap operas, a production technique which is being developed. And Fred Mogul, WNYC reporter here at station WNYC in New York, is here to report on a new mode of transmitting messages about safe sex to teenagers using cell phones. That's actually a piece of a soap opera, right, Fred?
Right. This is actually a part of a $2 million study. That's from the pilot that they developed, a 45-minute pilot that came out a few years ago that led to a $2 million NIH grant to develop a whole series, a dozen 15-minute installments that they're going to send to women. They're going to start with a select group, and they're going to see how they react to it. The whole idea is, will they or won't they change their behavior? Will they use condoms, in fact, when some of them, at least to get into this group, are sort of resistant to using condoms?
Now, of course, to deliver healthcare information, whether you're talking about, Africa or, communities in the United States where people need to know about safe practices, whether it's sanitation or, in this case, safe sex, you need to deliver the message to the place where the target population actually pays attention. Is there enough evidence that kids or the people that are targeted here pay enough attention to their cell phone to actually receive these messages?
Well, first of all, cell phones have come a long way. Not all of them can handle video just yet. You need to get the right model. They're distributing these models to the women in the study. And this is really a new sort of thing. They're taking 15-minute installments. And it's a show you can take and watch anywhere. And they're hoping that it will work on women, particularly in the African-American, Latino, urban community. These are people that that people who work on the healthcare providers on the front lines see coming back, getting reinfected, even though they know in their hearts and minds that they should be having protected sex.
So they know the information. This is more of a reminder. Let's turn you from healthcare reporter, which is what you do here at WNYC, into a TV critic. All right. What have you got?
Well, I'm not the target audience. These are people who are sort of amenable to soap operas in the first place. This is kind of not exactly Oscar-winning drama, but they found that women who have watched the pilot kind of get into it, and they're trying to flip a switch in them in a way because they're hearing that message consciously. You can't be a sentient being and not know a little bit about condoms.
All right. Well, let's go directly into the scene.
What are you doing? Baby, you know the deal. No glove, no love.
Baby, it's just that you look, feel, smell so good.
I know. Give me the condom. You'll like it when I put it on.
No, it's not pulling any punches there in the morning, but
this is pretty raunchy stuff. It's sort of just this side of softcore, but they're trying to root this in the real life experience of the women. In fact, these scripts are all come out of extensive focus groups. They're tested and tweaked, and they're saying, this is different than every other campaign that you might see. Kind of at the other end of the spectrum, we'll maybe hear something from a wildly broadcast campaign in India coming up in a second. But this here, they're really rooted in.
So this has actually been tried. This has actually been tried before in another population. Let's take a look at. You described that this is a research project. This isn't some sort of fringy media foray. Here's the principal investigator who's actually taking a look at what's being tested in this project.
But in my studies, women who did perceive their partner to engage in risk behaviors were not so trustful of that partner. And yet we're still engaging in unprotected sex with him. And wherever we went, women were saying the same things, and that is to get a man and to hold on to a man, unprotected sex is what's expected.
And that's the message they're fighting, right?
Right. That's in a very specific milieu. It's a part of the world where women are having trouble keeping a man, and somehow they've gotten into this dynamic where the men expect and demand unprotected sex, and they're trying to empower the women. That, by the way, I should say that's Rachel Jones, the principal investigator of the study.
Right, the principal investigator of the study. And, as you said a moment ago, this has been tried before. What are we listening to here?
Right, so this is these are life-size dancing condoms in India. You will see this anywhere you go currently in India. So they're telling their audience, I am the condom friend ever useful to you. I am the condom friend ever useful to you. They're multicolored and they're telling you how fragrant they are. This is a little different. A different approach, you know, what the woman in New Jersey and out of Rutgers and out of Newark and Jersey City, some pretty rough areas, really trying to say that these other campaigns that you might see, the more conventional safe sex things, you know, just aren't working.
Well, the mission is to get the message to be ubiquitous, to be where the kids are. And whether you're talking about Rachel Jones, that investigator from Rutgers University who's part of this study, or actually getting the stories on cell phones, it's about ubiquity of the message. Even if it's sensitive, if it gets into the discussion, it has a chance to work. Fred Mogul, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Fred Mogul is, of course, healthcare reporter for WNYC and reporting on cell phones to deliver safe sex messages to young people.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.